On this podcast, we discuss medical diagnoses and procedures. All of the guests express their own opinions. You should always seek medical advice from a trained and credentialed professional when making decisions about your own health. Welcome to the Sleep Apnea Stories podcast. I'm Emma Cooksey, and I've been coping with sleep apnea since childhood. I didn't know anyone in my life with a sleep disorder, so I decided to start this podcast. I'm here to build community and provide a platform for people with sleep apnea to tell their stories. Together, we can shatter stereotypes and raise awareness. We'll be exploring all sorts of treatment options and lifestyle choices to help you live your best life with sleep apnea. This is Sleep Apnea Stories, and I'm so glad you're here. Hey there, it's Emma Cooksey here, and I'm your host. So if you're not on Instagram, I posted a real little short video yesterday with a clip of Wonder Woman spinning round, like starting off in her like work clothes and spinning round and coming out transformed as Wonder Woman, which I just kind of love because it makes me think of my childhood. And if you're younger than me, you probably don't remember anything about Wonder Woman, but I just thought it was a really cute clip. And so I kind of put something about before and after sleep apnea diagnosis and treatment. And then a bunch of you sent me messages just basically saying, that's not what it looked like for me. I don't feel better on CPAP, or, you know, I feel a bit better, but I don't feel like Wonder Woman. And so, yeah, it's just one of those things where you're trying to do things on social media using like a 10-second clip. And it just isn't like, you know, you just can't get the nuance that you need to really have that big discussion. So I did a short live today where I just kind of explained, you know, that there are so many different experiences of this, and all of them are normal, and there's lots of other people going through the same thing as you. So there are some people who, you know, get a diagnosis and start CPAP or another therapy, and they feel much, much better, and you know, they go about their day. But there's a lot of us who, you know, we feel significantly better, but not, you know, well rested, and like we don't have daytime sleepiness. And there's other people that just really struggle, right? And all of those experiences are very much normal. And, you know, I definitely want all those people in my community. So if anybody kind of felt a bit, you know, either put out or just a little bit like it didn't really speak to them, like, I'm really sorry. So I feel like with that live, hopefully people all get, you know, where I'm coming from. So that's kind of why I think the podcast is so much more helpful than just like really short clips on Instagram, because we actually have, you know, enough time to have a nuanced discussion about all the different experiences. So anyway, so on to today's episode with Anders Olmundsen. Anders is a passionate medical innovator who spent 9 months traveling and studying healthcare in Asia and Africa to understand health needs around the world. Previously, he worked as a mechanical engineer at Medtronic and has a master's degree in medical device innovation and a bachelor's in biomedical engineering. So Anders and his team came up with this thing called a myo nozzle, where it essentially puts your tongue through a workout and builds your the strength and tone of your tongue and the different muscles it uses to swallow as you drink water during the day. And the idea is to, it makes it easier for people to kind of do myofunctional therapy type exercises without thinking too much about it, because it just fits in with their life. So I thought it was a super interesting interview. And without further ado, here's my conversation with Anders Olmundsen. So thank you so much for joining me, Anders.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So, did you want to start just by telling people a little bit about your background and how you got into myofunctional therapy and sleep and that kind of thing?
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, my background's in biomedical engineering. I used to work at Medtronic as a mechanical engineer, and then I did a master's of science in medical device innovation. It was really during that program, we're doing clinical immersion and we're going to different sleep clinics, and that was the first time, saw a severe obstructive sleep apnea patient just outright refuse CPAP therapy. So that was like really eye-opening for us, because definitely CPAP's like the gold standard for obstructive sleep apnea. And so we started digging into it. 80% of cases are undiagnosed. You have a 20 to 50% outright refusal rate, and then you've got a 40 to 50%, compliance rate with CPAP. So most
Right.
people aren't being diagnosed and they're not being treated. So that's kind of like how I started my journey into this space. So it's
Which
kind of like,
I think when you are in this, like even just like as a patient, and especially when you interview a bunch of patients all the time, you just kind of accept that that's the way it is. But when you look at those numbers, it's quite shocking.
Oh, it's really shocking. And
Yeah.
we have like, so we interact with, we've done a lot of like, patient interviews. And so we've kind of like heard a lot of different journeys of, so it's kind of like there's either, lack of awareness or, kind of people just accept like, oh yeah, I snore or I'm tired every day. That's just normal. Like it's kind of like, you just kind of accept that's normal, but it's not, And then also like, but then you also have people on the other end of the spectrum where they know they have an issue, but then they kind of look at what is in the future and they're like, I don't know if I want to go down this path of like, So it's, yeah, definitely there's a lot of need, there's a big need in this space to help people,
Yeah.
breathe better, sleep better, live their life to the fullest. So yeah, that's kind of what got, us excited. How can we help people? And really that's kind of like, our background, we're medical innovators. So, how do we help people live better lives?
And so when in that process did you come across like this whole myofunctional therapy thing? Because it's not
Yeah.
very, like a lot of people aren't familiar with that when it comes to sleep apnea
Yeah.
and
Yeah. We weren't familiar with it either. So we're kind of coming from like the medical device side and kind of like coming that way into it. And really, it was this study where playing the didgeridoo kind of just like, we're like, oh yeah, playing the didgeridoo. It was in Switzerland. They had like, I forget the number of people, but they had, people play the didgeridoo 5 days a week for
was
20
it the
minutes.
British Medical Journal article?
I'm not sure if it was British. It was like the University of Zurich. It maybe it was the
Okay.
British. It's been a while since I've looked at it. It was like
Yeah,
the
yeah.
2005 study. Yeah, I'll have to like look back at it. But yeah, the. So, but they, showed reduction from, I think it was like 10.3 AHI or something like that, just by playing the didgeridoo every day.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, this is wild. What's going on? And it seemed very different than what we were looking at
And it's
before.
almost like I interviewed somebody about like a didgeridoo instructor who helps people with sleep apnea, and what we were talking about with him was just that if it was a surgery or a medical device, I think people would be like all over that. But I think because it's like a didgeridoo and people can just buy one on Amazon, and there's not really as much interest in it, right?
Yeah, well, part of that, and I think there's also like, so we did a lot of customer interviews on like different the solution space as well, because after we found that, we're like, okay, what do people think of this as well as myofunctional therapy? So I guess I'll kind of like circle it in a
Just
second. Yeah, but yeah, so then we started coming across the studies coming out the University of São Paulo in Brazil where they're doing targeted exercises and they're showing like as good or better results in some cases,
yeah.
targeted exercises, which is what we call myofunctional therapy. They call oropharyngeal exercises. We're like, okay, this is wild.
And
Why
that
are
showed a drop in AHI that was really pretty significant.
Yeah, just by doing exercising mouth and throat muscles, which it's like a wild concept at first, but like we tell people and they're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, okay, I
Yeah.
exercise other muscles, other body parts. Like I can exercise my mouth and throat muscles. So they're not gonna like be as flabby or vibrate as much, kind of tighten
Yeah.
up a little bit. But yeah, it was kind of like, so coming back to that didgeridoo part. So we did a lot of like
interviews in the space of different like concepts, because we're trying to figure out a way for people to actually use the therapy. Because when we interviewed them about these different exercises or playing the didgeridoo, like, yeah, there's this stuff you can do, it's awesome, like, what do you think? And we had, you know, some people are like, yeah, sign me up, this is awesome. But a lot of other people are like, yeah, it's hard enough like working out my normal body like every
Right.
day, you know, let alone like working out my mouth and throat muscles. Like that's
Right.
kind of weird, you know? So that's where we're like, okay, let's find a way to get people to actually, you know, make it easy for them to do the therapy daily and consistently. So we're like coming up, we had like six different like concept areas. And it was like, and one of them was like instruments. And so we started interviewing people, and for like the customer, you know, desire for it, some people they would give that a 10 out of 10. They're like, yeah, if I can play an instrument every day, I love instruments, I love music, I'll play the didgeridoo every day. That's awesome. But then other people are like, yeah, I had to play the recorder or whatever, the trumpet, or I had to play this in school. I don't really like playing instruments. It's not really my thing. I don't think I can do it every day. They give it like
Plus,
a
like, you know, people who, you know, it's all well and good for people who have a standalone single family home, but most people, you're in an apartment with thin walls. Like, I don't know that didgeridoo playing is gonna
yeah,
work in that scenario.
it's because we had our different solution space. It's all like, what can you do that'll, you know, make it easy for people? Because it's kind of like, if you're really motivated, you know, you're willing to do different things for a period of time, but as that like changes, your motivation can kind of like drop off. Like anyone who's tried to do a workout routine or a diet or whatever, and you know, you
And a
notice it
lot, I think
works.
a lot of it is people being so tired all the time that they just are trying to just do the basics of like looking after their family and working. And that's, they don't have any leftover, you know, energy to put into some of these things sometimes.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So it's like, yeah, putting this one, you know, this extra thing on top of everything else that they have, and you're sleep deprived and, you know, like not feeling well. So really, yeah, it kind of comes back to this like motivation, desire kind of thing. So we're like, okay, we don't like this, you know, factor. Like it's kind of like there's too much variation, because we're also targeting, so most people that have obstructive sleep apnea, up to 95%, they also snore to some degree. So for us, we're like, okay, most people aren't being diagnosed, but we want to help as many people as we can. You know, we also have to go after people that snore, because they're never, unfortunately, maybe in the future there'll be, you know, more people be going through the medical system, but most people aren't going through the channels that they need to get help. So it's kind of like, okay, we have also have to go after snorers. And so, but snorers, so that's like from a motivation factor, you have the partner, or well, no, you have the snore who creates the problem, and the partner who experiences the problem. So the snore, or the snorers,
And
you know.
sometimes the thing I like, I spend so much time talking to spouses and partners of people who are like very motivated to figure this out, you know? And it, like sometimes the person who's actually snoring, I mean, sometimes they have the daytime sleepiness and they don't feel good and all that. Other times they're just like, yep, I snore, I'm asleep, you know, like, and we
If they
know that
admit it.
that's not great, but like, yeah, sometimes the motivation is the partner saying you have to sort this out.
Yeah, and that's like, so when we're doing like our interviews with people, you know, it's like it was like almost like couples therapy of,
I
you know, so
bet.
yeah, because at first we like some first people we interviewed, you know, we interviewed the snorer, and they're like, oh yeah, you know, we hear, you know, you snore, can you tell us about your condition? Like, oh, I don't snore. You know, you're like, well, that's not what we heard from your partner. You know, and they're like, oh, no, I don't. Sorry. And then you have to like, so we realize you have to like interview them both at the same time. Yeah, well, you keep me up an hour every night with your snoring. And it's like, you know, and then it kind of starts like coming on that, you know, so
And
it
there's
really.
all sorts of layers of that. There's also, so oftentimes you see partners of men being really frustrated because the man's snoring and all that. But there's also like me and my husband, where my husband overheard me interviewing somebody and I was saying, well, I never really snored that much. And after the interview, he was like, oh yeah, you've always snored a lot. And I'm just like, why wouldn't you, like, does that not affect you? You know, and he was just like, kind of, but he just doesn't want to make me feel bad for snoring or something. So there's different dynamics. And but I think that that's really smart to actually interview the couple Because yeah, it's really like different from couple to couple, I think.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like you could have someone with small snoring, but it really bothers their partner. And maybe they have like, you know, they're not, they have high stress jobs or whatever else, or they have kids. And so it's more, maybe more has bigger impact. Or you have people that snore a
Yes.
bunch, but their partner sleeps through it just fine. So they would never even know. So
Yep.
it's this whole like dynamic of, you know, how do they both, you know, how do both partners get the best sleep that they can?
This episode of Sleep Apnea Stories is sponsored by BetterHelp. How well we look after our mind really affects how we experience life. Therapy has been so helpful to me since I was diagnosed with sleep apnea. It helped me to work through the feelings I had about going undiagnosed for so long. It also helped me to adjust to living with a chronic condition. One of the best things about starting my podcast has been realizing I'm not alone in coping with mental health issues along with sleep apnea. Speaking to a professional therapist has helped me enormously to manage my anxiety and depression. BetterHelp is online therapy and it's much more affordable than in-person sessions. You can get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/Emma. That's betterhelp.com/Emma.
So snorers, like they, it's a range of either they're very unmotivated or motivated. Like if you have obstructive sleep apnea and you're tired, you probably have more motivation
Yeah.
because it's affecting you.
Yeah.
But if you're a snorer, it's like less motivation. So we're like, okay, how do we get, how do we develop something that isn't as based on motivation? So something that anyone could just pick up, not have to, you know, add something extra to their daily
Yeah. Not learning an instrument from scratch
routine.
or yeah.
So that's where like we're like brainstorming, and kind of we came across this. The idea was kind of like we called it a celery ball. So it was like this, like
How many of you were there?
there's I think like four of
And you're
us.
all engineers. Like, do you all have a similar background or?
Yeah, like kind of like
Okay, cool.
innovators
So,
or
like paint the picture for me, like a big whiteboard, or is it
So
okay?
back then we were so we, you know, we're startup, don't have like very much capital or anything. We're
Yeah.
going to like public libraries and renting space and like finding a whiteboard, and we're getting
Yeah.
like post-it notes, and we're all just like, okay, let's brainstorm how do we like solve this problem.
Yeah.
We're like going and going, and the kind of the one that stuck out to me was this like celery ball one. And for me, so kind of like I've noticed whenever I, you, because your brain kind of solves things before like you actually solve it. Like, and I was trying to like figure out this like puzzle piece for a while, and it was kind of like there's, I was like, there's something there. And the celery ball, like the concept was doing something healthy while also getting exercise. So it's kind of like a dual purpose kind of thing. But it's like, okay, you know, obviously a celery ball is not gonna, I don't know if that's gonna help you at all, but like, you know, so but that was like the concept. So, and at the time, you know, my brother, my younger brother, he's in medical school now, but he was, you know, we're driving home from the library and we're like, okay, you know, there's this celery ball concept. I think like that's the thing. And he's like,
Celery
crazy.
ball.
A celery ball, you know, like eating celery, you burn more, the whatever the saying is, you burn more
Oh,
calories.
like you burn more calories than it takes to digest the celery.
So it's like healthy plus
Okay,
exercise
got it.
kind of thing.
I was trying to make it into like, is there a workout thing called a celery ball? I don't know what it is. Okay, got it. Yeah.
Yeah, so then, you know, then it was kind of like a few weeks later, and I'm watching my parents' dog, Comet, and she's sitting there, she's eating peanut butter off a peanut butter cone, just doing this like tongue motion.
Yep.
I'm like, huh, she doesn't even realize that she's like putting this extra work into getting this peanut butter, you know. So it's kind of like that was like the big like light bulb moment for me. So I was like, okay, what do people do every day? They drink water out of a water bottle. So that was kind of like how Replenish was born. And then from there was a lot of like
Did you have a eureka moment where you like called everyone and said, I've come up with it.
It was a text. I was like, yep,
I
this is
love
it.
it.
Got it. And but then we still do customer interviews, you know. So we were
right
like, okay, let's, you know, continue our customer interviews. And we added that concept in. And that was like the one that ranked the highest out of the different ones. So, but
I
yeah,
wish we could go back in time so that I could have been in the room with y'all trying to
but
figure this out. Because I spent my whole time trying to figure it out for myself. So then you came up with the idea. And then, so explain to people listening what the basic idea behind the replenish straw thing. I don't know what you're calling it. Like,
yeah, I can grab one for, yeah. So, yep, replenish. We call it like a replenish myonozzle. So,
okay.
yeah, and really what it is, it's kind of like, you know, you're trying to drink water out of a straw. It's not like that where like you're using a straw motion. It kind of like doesn't let you get water if you use it incorrectly. So when you drink
Right.
out of it, you're doing these tongue exercises to get water out, and it guides you to do the motions. So it's kind of yeah, and it punishes you if you don't use it correctly. So,
So it requires you, like we've talked a lot, I've done lots of episodes on myofunctional therapy, but I've used it. I got one. So it requires you to kind of like push your tongue up to the roof of your mouth, which is what we want to try and do. But like in order to kind of do that repeatedly, you're almost doing like push-ups with your tongue almost with the, I mean,
Yeah, that's a great way to explain
yeah.
it. So, and kind of, yeah, basically, you know, you have your tongue tip in the spot. So for people that struggle with like a tongue thrust or other things, like that's like therapists will use it to reinforce, you know, proper swallowing habits. But you first need to figure out the tongue tip portion. So
Right.
that's something where an easy way to do that is if you just stick the tip of your tongue to the spot and just anchor it there as you're drinking out of it. It makes it slightly more difficult, but you have a lot more control while using it. So you use your tongue tip, and then you kind of just use the middle of your tongue to draw the water in. And what that's doing is, one, you're getting the back of your tongue up. So a lot of people struggle with good tongue posture, and when you have good tongue posture, it's less likely for your tongue to fall back in your airway. It
Yep.
also promotes nasal breathing naturally.
Yep.
So for people that struggle with that, you know, really helps them get that back of the tongue up. And then you're just doing these little tongue push-ups with the middle of your tongue. And every time you're doing that, you're activating your genioglossus. Every time you're swallowing, you're activating most of your mouth and throat muscles, your soft palate. So it's kind of like this, you know, exercise of many rep these small repetitions
Yeah.
with resistance. So myofunctional therapists will actually use it to increase or decrease therapy time, so they can get results quicker than if they were just doing other things with
So I
other.
think that that is one of the things with myofunctional therapy. I worked with a myofunctional therapist for like a number of months before I had a tongue tie release and then afterwards and stuff. And like, I think one of the things about it is that if you just show up and do that 30 minutes or an hour once a week, it's not gonna do anything. Like, it's really about that repetition and working on it and being aware of your tongue posture all the time. So I think one of the genius things about having it linked up to drinking water is that's something you're doing all the time during the day anyway. So yeah, and I suppose it is kind of a celery thing in the sense that people need to be more hydrated as well. So they're kind of like two for one.
Yeah, there's people who like they don't normally drink water, and it kind of gives them a reason to also drink water. Like, okay, I got to get my one
Yeah.
bottle or two bottles of water in. I'm also like hydrating as well as getting the exercise. So it's
Yeah.
yeah, so it's kind of like trying to do a dual benefit for sure. And
So
then
did all the engineers in the room do myofunctional therapy, like with a myofunctional therapist to begin with to figure out how this is going to work, or?
I'll start before we got to that
Okay,
phase.
yeah.
Before that, we were just looking at the studies, and
Right,
what
right, right.
we do is we just picked apart every exercise that they had. We're like, okay, why are these
Like
exercises
in
working?
the Brazilian study.
Yeah, in the
Yeah.
Brazilian studies. Yeah, so we took them, and we would do it to the point of fatigue. So we would like overdo it and just see where we felt fatigue. Okay, we're like, okay, this is targeting this area. Okay, this is targeting that area. And it takes like a couple days for like the fatigue to go away. So it's kind of like we like alternate who's doing what exercises and kind of just
Yeah.
took notes. Then we were also we have a didgeridoo too. So we're like practicing a didgeridoo. Okay, what is the didgeridoo doing? We're looking at like other research, where what are the theories of what's happening here? And then that was like one part. So that's like what's happening that we know works. But then we're looking at the anatomy and physiology and pathophysiology, like why do we think, or what are the things that are happening when an airway collapses, and what are possible ways to help improve that or strengthen that? So we're looking at it from that angle too. Like, okay, well, one thing we definitely want to strengthen anything that's collapsing. We want to get the good tongue posture, all these different, like we want to help the soft palate because that's what's vibrating, So we're kind of like picking our targets. Then we're looking at the exercise. And back then there was like, I don't know, 15 exercises that they're doing. So it's like there's a lot, and that's a lot for some to do. So we're like picking all that apart. We're like, okay, we think if we did these things, this might help. Okay, now what's a natural motion for people? Because we don't want to like introduce something that's weird into like what they're doing every day. So now we're looking at, okay, you have like breastfeeding and kind of the motions of breastfeeding, but not like the infant one, but kind of the next mechanism of when it transitions more to adult motion. So you're kind of doing this more vertical motion. So like kind of the suction and compression. So we're like trying to then put into a natural motion. So that's kind of like how we develop the therapy. But it was also, now we're like, okay, how do we develop it with, oh, then the kid, now we're starting to talk with like myofunctional therapists and speech therapists. We're like shadowing them and stuff and getting, just understanding, like working with them through the exercises, but then also, okay, what's the problems that they face and kind of the problems that you just outlined of, okay, people have to go and do these exercises every day and they're not, doing it. So we're like, okay, like, oh, if we just had something we could give to people and we know that they're going to do the therapy. We're like, yeah, awesome. So a year later, like after we developed it, we kind of came back. We're like, hey, we have this thing you guys like asked for, And we're also working with speech therapists and myofunctional therapists while developing it. So like our very first prototypes were like pretty rudimentary. So we're like sending it out to like speech therapy. He told us later, like, he's like, yeah, the first ones you sent us was like, yeah, what are these guys, what are they doing? Like, but then we kept developing and iterating, like, okay, what if we did this? What if we did that? And we kind of kept developing it. So we've gone through like probably hundreds of prototypes of testing different things. And then finally, kind of got to the point where we're like, okay, and they're like, yeah, we really like this. Like got the thumbs up from the speech therapist and myofunctional therapist. Then we did a study, like a internal kind of like preliminary study just with snorers. Like, hey, use this for a month. We'll kind of collect your, we had bed partner snoring surveys at the beginning. And we're like, oh, yeah, just kind of mark like what happens before and after. So you kind of like pretty basic study. So we had, I think it was 37 people, use it for a month. And it was just like the results were like crazy, for what people are saying,
Like
like, oh
so much better.
yeah, because we're asking like, oh, and this is something we weren't even like originally measuring, but we're like, oh, what changes have you noticed? And they're like, huh, well, some people are like, well, I used to wake up every hour or two throughout the night, and now I'm not waking up, it's like 5 or 6 hours. Like, yeah, okay,
Which
that's
is
pretty
huge
consistent.
when you think about people's like fragmented sleep and all of that. Like just having people stay asleep is huge.
Yeah, and that's like, and they're saying that they're feeling more well rested. They're not like one person, he was talking about like how, he drive into work every day, and every morning is just this blur of like, just kind of he's out of it, like headaches every morning, kind of some, if you're familiar with obstructive sleep apnea, some telltale signs. Also, he's probably one of those people that's like, yeah, I know what the path is if I get a sleep study. Like, I'm pretty sure I have it, but I don't want a sleep study. I don't want a CPAP. And so, but he's like, yeah, I'm like,
Which
I.
is so many people. Like I that's why, I mean, the numbers of people undiagnosed, like some of it is awareness, but some of it is people who are perfectly aware and like basically think that the only options for them are like sleep study followed by CPAP, and they want no part of CPAP, so they just don't even get tested.
Yep. And I'll just say, like, we love CPAP. We're like, if you need it, definitely use it. But it's also like, yeah, people, that's what their uncle had, CPAP, or their dad had a CPAP, or whoever. And they're like, yeah, I don't want that, like that's kind of
And I
so.
think though, like, so the thing is though, unless we talk about that, we're not getting to the root. I feel as though, like, I've used CPAP every night for 15 years or whatever, and I honestly think I would have died in a car crash, falling asleep at the wheel if I hadn't have had that. Like, I have severe sleep apnea, I'm all about like CPAP for people that need it, but also we have to have the conversation about the people who will not do it, right? So we need to come up with more innovative ways. Like we just need a huge spectrum of different options for all the different people because there's no one person, right? Like I hear constantly from people, one loves their CPAP, one hates it. One person loves the oral appliance, one hates it. One person is like, I just had double jaw surgery and it fixed all my problems. Another person is like, it didn't go so well. So I think that everyone's so different. We just need to like keep innovating and just come up with new and better things for sure.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're trying to get after when we're doing our stuff. Really, what we're looking for is like, okay, something non-invasive, non-intrusive, and that can help people. Like our like biofunctional therapy, it's awesome and it can help a lot of people. I think there's studies where like the Eckert studies where a third of people, like the primary cause or a primary cause of their obstructive sleep apnea is neuromuscular responsiveness. A lot of people can benefit from this aspect, but then you also have like the jaw's not developing as much. Just in general, we're not eating as like, harder foods, we're eating softer things, we're not using our mouth muscles as much. Our airways are smaller because our jaws aren't developing as much. So it's kind of like, a modern problem. And so, people aren't really like, and people, we have, it's like, how do we come up with ways to like address,
And
our
also, like, I think what I
and
just was interviewing Shireen Lim, who's like an Australian dentist last night, and she was talking about this like continuum, right? From for so many people, not everybody, but for so many people, there's this continuum from open mouth breathing to snoring to, upper airway resistance syndrome to mild sleep apnea to moderate sleep apnea to severe sleep apnea. And she was just saying the earlier in that you can intervene and improve things. I just feel like, if kids with open mouth breathing or with snoring, like start with myofunctional therapy and like any other interventions, the chances are you can build good habits that can stop them from progressing.
And that's exactly, well, we haven't like officially announced, but that's where we're
Are we
going.
singing from the same hymn sheet?
But yeah,
As my
like
dad would say.
we're like, because a lot of the things that we're seeing on the adult side. So we have a product for snoring. We're now doing a study with Mayo Clinic on the obstructive sleep apnea side. But a lot of people that have these issues, they've had it since they were a kid. So that's like our, this year we'll be launching a product in that space to help.
Exciting.
Yeah, so that's, yeah, we haven't officially announced it, but
Right
we
on.
can talk about
Well,
it. We tell enough healthcare professionals know about
so
it
if you want to pick my brain at any point, just call me. It's my
that.
favorite subject. You developed the your nozzle, your myofunctional nozzle. And so you get an NIH grant?
Yeah, so we
That's
have
amazing, dude.
yeah, thank you.
Do you want to explain to people like the National Institutes of Health is like they award grants to all sorts of people who are looking in? Well, do you want to just explain a little bit about it?
So we got funded through National Institutes of Health, the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. So really, they're looking at, okay, what are innovative, sleep solutions? And
Yeah, I know. I attended a thing in Washington, D.C. with Dr. Brown from NIH, and she was talking, who's probably your bestie if you're doing this whole thing. But
She was our old program officer. So we've actually been apply. It took us four times to apply for the grant. So it was
yeah,
like the
it's
very
a
first
whole process as well.
time. Yeah. So very first time we applied. Okay. And the grant's like a small business innovation research. So every government agency has like a set amount of their budget that they put towards, small business innovation or technology translation from universities. So it's kind of part of that, kind of like funding innovation, to help solve these big health problems. So yeah, it was kind of, so it took us four times to apply. The very first time we applied, we didn't have our preliminary data yet. So we had like two reviewers. They're like, this is awesome. It has so much potential. Like, we're not sure if it'll work or not, but like, yeah, it's worth like trying. The third one's like, Yeah, you know, there's no way such a complicated condition could have any, like, this could do whatever. And he kind of just, like, you know, brought down the first time. So then we got our preliminary data and we're like, okay, well, it seems to be helping people. Like, let's study this in, like, you know, more clinical studies. Let's, like, develop it more. And so then it kind of switched from, you know, the first year, like, yeah, awesome. Then the third one, like, I think it was the same review. I don't know. Like, maybe it wasn't. But the third one went from like, okay, it can't work to like, okay, well, maybe it can work, but like, I don't like your study design, which was fair because originally, like, our study design was like, you know, pretty, you know, conservative, as in like, okay, we'll measure snoring or like, you know, not very much. It was kind of just like quality of life metrics, snoring. But they're like, well, if you're going to do that, you might as well measure, you know, sleep study data. And we're like, okay, you know, so we're like, okay, well, you only get limited funds through like the grant. It's not like you get like a ton, you know, a ton of money. Studies. So we're like, okay, how do we, okay, let's add
Times
it.
how many people you're gonna have in the study is kind of a lot.
So then we go and we do like add a sleep study in, and we're like, you know, moving around everything. And then the next time we apply, they're like, well, now you need a bigger sample size if you're gonna do it. And we're like, well, you know, we're like doing this for you guys. Like, so then finally we're able to like make it work with like a big enough sample size, as well as like getting the sleep study, but still the primary outcomes are first adherence, and then quality of life, and then the secondary is, you know, AHI, like SpO2, like all that kind of stuff. So how many times you stop breathing in the middle of the night, the, you know, blood oxygen levels, and
And
then
so what
therapy.
is the cohort of people you're looking at? Is it people with sleep apnea of a certain level, or how are you choosing who takes part?
So mild to moderate is who we'd be looking at. And then, you know, the inclusion criteria is, you know, includes like most people, I guess. Like, but there's, you know, stuff if you can't use like a smartphone, or if you have like some kind of, if you had some kind of surgery or some, you know, thing that would prevent you from being able to do these exercises, or, you know, like kind of like extra stuff. But yeah, mild to moderate. So. And that's in
So,
that study, in the research, it seems like those are the ones that have the most clear indicator. Like, once you get to severe, there seems to be, there's multiple things.
yeah,
You know,
totally.
more, it's more complicated, you
It
know.
is much more complicated. There's a lot going on. So, are you looking to find people for your study, or have you already found everybody?
So we're just about to start like recruitment, and it's at Mayo Clinic Rochester. So if you're in Minnesota near Rochester, like that would be a great thing. And we've had people reaching out. So like our clinical coordinator is like, yeah, you know, people have been reaching out about the studies.
I'm
Have like
happy to share it with my email list and stuff. There'll totally be people in Minnesota,
that'd be
people from
awesome.
all over the place.
That's something like more, the more people we can get, like, because we just want to like, yeah, let's get this study, because we've been waiting for it for like, I
So
don't want
long.
to admit this, but it's been like 3 years that we've been wanting to do this study. So
Yeah, that's awesome. And
yeah,
so,
so
how long will it take once you start?
traditional, like the myofunctional studies out there usually do 3 months. We're doing 2 months just because, at least for us, we've seen people get pretty good benefit within like a month, or even like for some people a week. But those people are like, it's more, I think, tongue posture related or like neuromuscular retraining. We're not exactly sure why, and that's something we want to study more, but we have our theories. But yeah, so people seem to get benefit pretty quickly. I think that's due to the resistance aspect, so people can, I think that's one factor. So we think 2 months is plenty of time to get like at least a noticeable signal. But yeah, 3 months you probably get a stronger signal, but yeah, 2 months is kind of what we're kind of trying to be like, this is quicker than maybe some other things, if yeah. But this is
And
just initial study too. We want to do like a million studies, and there's so many other like benefits that we've had people report to us, like just having good, like a strong tongue in general, like whether it's speaking or whether it's eating or, you know, swallowing. Like, there's so many other benefits that people like report. Even like, so there's like, we have our like snoring obstructive sleep apnea side, and then there's like a long list of like things we want to study, because we have like researcher using with like Down syndrome patient, you know, like kids, and we have like another one using it with like TMJ stuff, or we have like other people. So there's like these long lists of things that we're like, okay, maybe there's some more benefits that we're trying to study more. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's so if there's any like researchers out there that, you know, are listening to this podcast, like, we're looking for people. We just don't have the time or resources to go after all these things, but we think there's a lot of potential, whether having strong tongue or good tongue posture.
Yeah, so maybe like people who do research into, speech and speech therapy and that kind of thing, maybe there could be an opportunity to. So interesting. So are you just going to keep working on ideas to help us?
Well, so I guess like what I want to do, like kind of my mission in life is to just solve as many health problems as I can. But the one we're solving right now is so big and fundamental. Like breathing and sleep are
Yeah.
just so instrumental to like all different parts of health that like right now, there's so much more potential that like even just the technology we've invented, like we're always like innovating and improving it,
Yeah.
but it's also there's such a big need, such a big like,
Yeah.
and
I
such
want
a
you to keep
future.
going and figure it all out for us.
So definitely at least, as long as I can like keep innovating and helping people and making my own unique impact like in this space, like this is what I want to be doing. So I could like
Awesome.
see myself doing this for at least like another like 5 years in this position, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, but if at some point if there's like, okay, we're no longer like solving new needs or whatever else, then maybe it's like, okay, maybe there's other opportunities. It's
I mean,
definitely
this is
I
gonna be like this could be your life's work though. Like really, like the need is so much, and there's just a lot of patients around this who their voices aren't really being heard because they're going to doctors and CPAP doesn't work for them, and then they just kind of go, oh, well, there's nothing to be done, when actually we should be talking all about all the different things they can try. So I think well done and keep going
Well, thank you.
is how I would like to sum everything up. So is there anything else you would like to share? Do you want to share a bit about how people can find out more about what you're doing and maybe the website and that kind of thing?
If you go to remasteredsleep.com, so we have, great website. We're trying to add, like right now we've got this whole like trying to educate people on airway health and like what are the different factors and what are other things. So we're just like structuring our blog stuff. So we have some initial blogs, but we're like trying to really build out like, okay, we want to own like the intro to airway health space. 'Cause a lot of people kind of what you mentioned, you like go into it, you have no idea what's out there, what the information is. So we just want to like provide as much information as possible so people can understand maybe, okay, what's some factors that might be influencing their condition. What are possible solutions they could try, more on like conservative side, but also, what's also available, like different, I'm sure, there's a lot of different paths people can go. And there's not really a good like guide for that. So it's kind of
There
like, at least
isn't.
an intro level of here's the, if you want to go down the rabbit holes of like the airway health journey, here's like the starting
Yeah.
points. And then,
That's great. That's so needed, because I think I spend half my spare time talking people through it all, but like that's what we need is like some actual an introduction, like you're saying, to kind of say like these are different treatment options. These are all the different specialists you might talk to, which is so many people who don't talk to each other. So, yeah, that's cool.
And we've kind of got like unique product as like, we're trying to kind of the way we've structured our whole business, like our vision is to go after the 1 billion people who have snoring and airway disorders. So it's kind of like, we're trying to hit as many people and educate them and at least, start them on their journey to
Yeah.
better airway health and improved breathing and sleep. So it's like kind of that's how we've done our whole thing. We've got like, affordable product, relative to everything else out
Yeah.
there. So it's kind of like hopefully we can, use that to get as many people as possible. And
Yeah.
so that's kind of our mission is really, yeah, it's a big, big goal. 1 billion people is like a lot, but
Yeah.
we can really prevent, neuromuscular cause, obstructive sleep apnea. Like that's exactly what we're trying
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. I love hearing from you. If you'd like to be featured in an upcoming episode, please email me at sleepapneastories@gmail.com. That's also the place to get in touch if you just want to say hi or ask a question. Alternatively, you can always reach me on Instagram. My handle there is @sleepapneastories. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen. This really helps a wider audience to find the episodes, and I really appreciate it.